It's the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast. I'm Bob Boylan. Recently, we've been facilitators to some fascinating conversations between musicians. Sharon Van Etten wanted to talk to Mimi Parker of Low about being a mom on the road. U.S. Girls wanted to talk to Peaches on the hazards and humor of making explicit music. Those interviews are all on the NPR Music site. And today, it's John Grant and Nico Case. John and Nico have been social media friends for a few years now. A recent Twitter exchange began with Nico exclaiming that falling in love should sound like the intro to Get Down Tonight, with John's response being, yeah, but it should last a tad longer, perhaps. John Grant has a brilliant new record out. It's called Gray Tickles and Black Pressure. Nico Case's record in 2013, the solo record, was called The Worse Things Get, The Harder I Fight, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You. Both share a similar sensibility, a similar aesthetic, a similar vibe. So John was in Washington, D.C. last week. Nico Case was at a studio in Montpelier, Vermont. I got John some requested snacks, including a Coke Zero, and I let the conversation flow, and boy, did it ever. Maybe one day there'll even be a record made because of some of this conversation. We'll see. Anyway, here goes. John Grant with Nico Case. You ready?
Did you get your Coke Zero?
I did.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it?
I can hear how refreshing it is.
Oh, my God.
It's refreshing.
How did you know about this?
Oh, it's all over the internet.
It's all over the internet, yeah.
He sold you out earlier.
Okay.
Did you get peanuts, too?
I have cashews here available.
There we go. There
almonds.
We go.
Yeah.
It's like we're in a lounge together. Airline lounge.
Yeah, but there's no wasabi anywhere. Can you imagine? Those little wasabi bombs that break my teeth off.
Wasabi peas?
Yeah.
Those actually saved my life once.
Really?
How so?
Yeah, because I fell on two large bags of it that were in my backpack.
Oh, yeah.
And I still broke my ankle, but I flipped over onto my backpack and there was two huge bags of wasabi peas that I had gotten for the tour manager of the band we were on tour with. Just because I was going to the store, you know, I was like, hey, what do you need?
Wow.
And then...
And here you are with your spine intact.
My spine's intact.
That's amazing.
Ankle gets sore now and again, but if it weren't for the wasabi peas, I probably would have cracked my head wide open.
Oh, man.
I want to know how you all met.
We never have.
We've never met. No, we e-met, didn't we?
Beginning.
Yeah, we did. We met, I think, through our friend Jerry Hieronymus Melchers.
Oh, man.
England.
That's right.
Actually.
That's exactly.
Sweet Jairs.
Oh, isn't he beautiful?
Yes, he is.
Tell me more about Jerry. Jerry is?
Well, I mean, he's a Dutchman who speaks amazing English, and his name is Hieronymus.
Much better than me.
For God's sakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And he is a sound engineer, tour manager, hilarious guy.
Yeah.
With lots of good stories and some super cute kids.
Yeah.
And how did he get you to e-meet or meet or however?
He told me that he was working with Nico, and I said, oh, man, I love her music so much. And he said, I'll put you in touch with her. Well, I'll see if we can't get the two of you together. And he made that happen.
Up.
He did.
In what way? Because it's all digital. So you just got some emailing or?
Yeah, we
emailed. He gave me a physical CD, actually.
Ah.
Hard copy.
Okay.
Doesn't happen anymore, I suppose.
Which record?
Was it Queen of Denmark?
No, it was the Pale Green Ghosts.
Okay.
I love that record.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You know it. You know I love it.
I wouldn't ever. I would never purport to know anything.
I love it.
It's okay to have the beginning of the Mutual Admiration Society. It's okay. It can convene here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I have written down here the first thing I was going to say to you. Nico Case, you are definitely one of the modern reasons to get out of bed.
Now I'm blushing.
So congratulations on that, and congratulations on the new box set, which I will immediately be purchasing.
Aww.
Tell us about this box set, because it's about to, what, November-ish?
Yeah, it's all my previous recordings on vinyl.
Isn't that exciting?
And there you go. And a book and some junk and in a box.
What's the book?
It's just a lot of photographs, and I was going to make this big book about touring that isn't like a how-to, just some stuff, and then I realized I have so much stuff that I had to make a littler book because I could only make one so big, so I have to make another one to follow it up.
Oh, nice. I just did that in my current album. I'd made a big booklet that's the size of the vinyl itself. And I love to do that because that's really where you really get to show people what you're seeing out there when you're
doing this.
Yeah, I love to do that.
I also miss buying music with that in it.
Oh, me too.
People used to work hard on that, and now it's kind of... I'm sure they still do, but you don't get to see the fruits of their...
Yes.
Doing that. Because I don't like the behind-the-scenes videos, really, of everything. Every moment of a musician's life.
No, no.
Some of it's funny, but mostly it's like, you know, like when you're looking at a magazine and it's like, check out the behind-the-scenes video of the photo shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see the behind-the-scenes video of the photo shoot. I want mystery.
Yeah.
It's just going to be Courtney Love getting waxed during her her Q interview or whatever that was. I always think of that and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
So would you put in is it the book for Great Tickles, John, and Great Tickles Black Pressure that you made a book for? Or is
yes.
It and
by the way, I want to send that to you, Nico. So can we figure that out?
I thought you were
going
to say me.
Yeah, I want to send that to you, Bob. And I was also thinking that I'd like to send that to Nico as well.
I bought you a Coke Zero.
Do you know how excited I would be about that?
Oh.
And I will also buy you a Coke Zero.
Oh.
When we see each other in person. And we can actually do some embroidery together.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's something I've been thinking a lot about since we emailed.
Yeah, I would love to. Do you remember the carnival ride called the Zipper?
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
I hung upside down in that forever till I got big bruises on my hips and everything. I love that thing so much.
Me too. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And I want to have a suit that I wear on stage that has that embroidered on the back of it.
Wow.
I've been looking into embroidery machines, actually. They're about $8,000. But I thought if you could make huge patches and make them into your clothing, they would pay for themselves in like 3 outfits. Probably not, but that's my fantasy. Because I like to just go all the way to the moon for a Band-Aid when I could really probably just hire someone to do it.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you do. Because
I bought a canning operation for these 3 fish I caught.
Really?
Yes.
Wait a minute, I just believed you.
Inspired.
I caught 3 salmon, and I'm having them properly processed in my canning facility.
Wow.
Actually, I'm not sure whether you're telling the truth.
No,
or
I'm
you're
totally
not
lying. I don't even eat fish.
Do you actually have time to embroider all this time? You guys both are traveling lots.
Yeah, yeah.
And is there time to do something like knitting, embroidering?
Oh yeah.
Lots of time to do that.
Yeah, because it's all about it's a waiting game. A lot of it.
Yeah, it's like you could be getting wasted, or you could be embroidering something.
Yeah.
Or eating something.
The question is, I mean, I usually like to just sit and stare at a wall, though, during those times because my brain is trying to catch up. Or I'm looking at Icelandic grammar or Russian grammar or German grammar, boning up.
How is your Icelandic grammar?
Oh, it's good. It's a lot harder to actually speak the language, though. But my grammar, my grammar knowledge is solid. But it's the hardest one that I've ever learned. Are you a language?
I had Russian for a while.
Ah.
That's in your family.
I don't know that my Russian grammar is any good, considering that word order doesn't matter, so I don't really remember. They say it doesn't matter, but then it does.
Yeah, значит, ты говоришь по-русски. Значит,
сделан интервью. Я плохо говорю по-русски.
Ты плохо говоришь по-русски. Я бы этого не сказал. Но это хорошо звучит.
Я не понимаю.
It sounds very lovely what you are saying.
Спасибо.
Нико. That sounds great, though. And you've got that in your family, eh?
Yeah, they refused to speak it, and then it turned out it was Ukrainian.
Uh-huh.
They just never bothered. They didn't tell me that we were Ukrainian until I was much older. Because they just didn't ever speak about themselves at all.
Right.
It took me, like, I think I had made 3 or 4 records by the time my grandma went, oh, yes, I used to be in a harmony singing band with my brother for many years. We played at the Grange Hall.
Wow.
I was like, why would you not tell me that?
Yeah.
It just never came up. I don't know.
Those Ukrainians, they do some of that singing like the Bulgarian women. And it is those harmonies are some of the most intricate, beautiful things I've ever heard.
Oh, the laser drones?
Yeah.
Laser drones.
I was like, I want to learn Bulgarian so I can go to Bulgaria and just start from the bottom, kind of like in Kill Bill where she goes to the master.
Yeah, yeah.
And they beat her up I would let them beat me up every day, and I would eat dirty rice off the floor if they would teach me how to sing like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fierce singing. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's fierce.
It's very powerful. They do this interesting technique, don't they, with their
throats.
Yeah, with their throats.
Yeah, and they do that cyclical breathing like they do in tube and throat singing, I think.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of mariachi can do that too, to hold those notes really long. Makes me swoon.
Yeah, me too.
Did you do that while you're learning embroidery?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do cyclical breathing.
I mean, I can barely make it up the stairs, so I don't see that happening.
Future,
I'd probably...
Breathing cyclically? What?
Yeah, exactly. I have trouble breathing while embroidering as well.
Just plain old breathing.
Absolutely. You know, just sitting there doing that.
I remember I saw Anthony Braxton, the sax player, play, and I was too young. I had no idea there was something called cyclical breathing.
Yeah.
And here he is blowing, and he's blowing, and he's blowing. And you just, like, physically as a human, you know there are certain limitations we all have. Yours is embroidery and just plain breathing. But for him, it was, I just didn't understand it. It was like he had a pipe up the back of his whatever going through his mouth into the saxophone. But it's quite a remarkable thing.
You were
going to
say his butt.
This is NPR.
Bob, you were going to say.
Anyway, it's magic.
I'm just saying what we're all thinking.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Nico, how have you been?
I've been well. I've been on tour a lot.
Yeah.
I think I just got my garden put to bed, so that's a relief.
Wow.
I think the roof is fixed, so I think it's all right.
Wow, that's amazing. Where do you live?
I live in northeastern Vermont.
That sounds amazing. I'm desperate to go up there and drive around in the autumn.
Today is the day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's wildly gorgeous out there.
The show's
right
over
now.
By 10, John.
Well, if it rains really hard, I think it'll stick around for the next few days. But
yeah, I'm fascinated by this gardening thing as well, because, you know, I really do feel like music is the only thing that I can do, and I don't cook. Did you ever read The Tin Drum?
No.
That's a great story about this little boy who, you know, decides to stop growing because he doesn't want to be a part of this world. And I sort of feel like I did that as well. And so now that I'm 47, I'm sort of awake now and really sort of looking at the world, and I'm trying to learn to do things, which is a lot of fun. I roasted a chicken, for example, recently for the first time ever in my life.
It's wild when you realize your basic skills, isn't it?
Well, that you have none, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean that you can decide one day to use them.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
I know how to read, and that's pretty much all it takes. I probably don't even need that, and I could figure it out. All of my skills are based on anxiety, and that I can't stop doing things otherwise.
Like what?
What do I do, or what kind of anxiety?
I'd love to talk about anxiety, by the way.
Absolutely. But okay, so... singing and writing and all that stuff is due to the fact that you have anxiety, and it's what makes you comfortable? Is that what?
Well, that's kind of more pleasurable most of the time. That's like some good leisure time. But when you're not doing that, which is most of the rest of the time, I have to fill my time with something productive. If I'm not being productive, I have this weird feeling, like kind of this drone of, you know, that feeling where...
He's nodding.
You were supposed to turn in a huge essay or something, and your entire grade depends on it, and you're not going to graduate, and you just didn't do it.
Yeah.
There's no excuse, you just didn't do it, and so you're outside smoking a cigarette with your friends in the woods, and you're like, I should be enjoying this right now, and I'm not.
I was looking at all of the things that you've done recently, and I thought to myself, this is exactly the type of thing that I would expect you to say about this. Like, I don't have the energy to be in, like, in another band. I find that, you know, for example, I was going to ask you this question. Have you ever longed for the apocalypse during the mixing of an album?
Oh my God, every single time, because every record you make, there's like this weird record amnesia where you think, okay, this next record is going to be so much easier because I've learned so much about engineering or production or whatever.
Exactly.
But all you've done is broaden your perception for mistakes and new ideas that have to be tried.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you'll die.
And your perfectionism has been fine-tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, the questions that come after this are, do you like to talk about compression? Do you get involved in engineering and get deep down into that mess? I mean...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, but I'm not good at it. I don't feel like I have the ear that these people have who have these conversations about compression. And I wonder if it's maybe a patience thing. Because I love it too. I think it's amazing, but I can't go too deep, I'm afraid. And you do go that deep.
I go deep, but I'm not always right. That's why I never do anything by myself, because people don't realize that your ears burn out just like your eyes do.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, if you've oversaturated yourself with a certain frequency, you just stop hearing it. Or there's like basically the aural version of witness protection program scrambling over that in your ear, and you're like, well, high-end distortion? I have no idea. I don't hear that. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And really, you've just worn a groove in your ear and you can't hear it anymore. So you got to go, you know what, Daryl? I'm going to go out there and have a freak out and you do this for a while.
Exactly.
And then you got to have another captain with you.
Oh, absolutely.
At least I do.
And who are your captains? Daryl is Daryl.
Daryl Newdorf, who I've worked with for years, or Tucker Martin, or, you know, Craig Schumacher.
Hmm.
Lots of those cats. There's a lot of captains out there.
Yeah, there's a lot, and they're very special people. I had John Congleton on this latest release of mine.
Love that man.
Me too. And he's
good.
He is good, and I desperately need somebody to reel me back in, because I'll sing something over and over and over and over, thinking that I'm getting it better each time, and he's like, "This isn't going the way you think it's going." By the way,
that's a really good way to put it.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, it's not. You can't have somebody who's passive aggressive or polite helping you.
No,
they
got to
be basically German and be like, "You sound very fat. You have to sing it again."
You know what? I can't believe you and I are connected somehow, because I was actually, when I was thinking about what we could talk about, one of the things I thought of was, how did you feel when you went to Germany for the first time and dealt with that for the first time? Because when I went there to live for 6 years, I really had trouble with that directness at the beginning. And it's so true that that's what you need with the person that you're working with. And the Germans do that. They say, "That shirt wasn't a very good choice for you, was it, this morning?
Your last album was shit, but I like this new album much more."
Exactly.
Yeah, I could hear how you cycled the cricket, and I thought you were... It sounded like you were a fraud. It was not nature, because it was not one take. You made it happen over and over.
Yes, you are a fraud, but I like you.
It sounds like a fraud, the crickets.
A frog or a fraud?
A fraud.
Oh, yeah. Genau.
But I love the directness. Finally, somebody just telling you what is actually... But they actually care while they're telling you that it's a mess?
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting thing, I have to say. Have you ever lived there for long periods of time?
No, I've never lived there. I just have some very, very close German friends who crack me up.
Yeah,
and my imitation of them is basically, "Why are you so fat? Are you sad or something?"
Exactly. Wow, that's just right on the money.
Well, I'm going to suggest that John Congleton and you, John Grant, and you, Nico Case, need to get all in a room together and do something together.
Oh, I think that would be wonderful. I think we should make a Eurythmics album, like one of those first two really, really sparse... electro things with lots of atmospherics and just beautiful harmonies. And
I've never made a record like that. I would love to.
Wouldn't that be exciting? I think it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be really exciting.
I should get John on the phone.
Yeah, you should get John Congleton on the phone. That dirty bird.
Let's see. Let's see if he's around. Should we call him?
Bless his cold,
yeah,
black little
let's call
heart.
John Congleton. Yeah. Let's do it.
Are you going to call him?
See if he's up.
That's awesome. Hey, I want to talk to you about the Lego movie, Nico. Did you see that?
I never saw it. I know who has kids is like, you know, that Lego movie was actually quite funny.
It's so good.
And I'm like, okay, I will totally watch the Lego movie.
I'm predicting that you're really gonna like that.
I like animation.
Yeah, I know you do. And I wonder, and I'm also predicting that you love Squidbillies. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard.
Me too. Real hard. Granny especially.
Yeah.
Bless her.
Old Dana Snyder. He's the funniest.
See if John's around.
Oh, John.
Hey, Bob.
Oh.
Mr. John.
How are you, man?
I am fine. Yes. So I'm going to tell you right now, I am here in the studio. I'm actually rolling tape. I have 30.
Don't swear, whatever you do. No,
yeah, don't
what
swear, John.
You have 2 minutes?
Can it wait 30 minutes?
It can't because I'm here with John Grant and Nico Case.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well.
I am actually totally in the middle of something. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
okay.
Bless your heart.
Cool.
It's okay.
Well,
we love you.
We're just sparking a project here, and I've just planted a seed, and now I'm going to hang up. And
can it wait 10 minutes by chance?
Well, yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, tell me in 10 minutes, and I'll be available.
All right, cheers.
All right,
yeah.
See what a pro he is?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He didn't want to stop what he was doing. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm like, I salute you, man.
Oh, totally. And I'm not that way. I'm so distractible.
Badminton? On the lawn? Yes.
Exactly. Right now. No problem. No rackets? No problem.
No problem.
Let's do it anyway. You know, what about Devo? Do you like Devo?
I love Devo.
Me too. And that's one of the reasons you're going to love the Lego movie, because Mark Mothersbaugh did the music
he
for
did.
That. It's quite fantastic. I'm a big Devo freak, and I believe that...
I like it when Mothersbaugh gets really creepy. Like, I like Peekaboo. I think that's my favorite Devo song,
Me
even
too.
Though it's the creepiest one.
Yes.
And then the music he did for Tapeheads. Remember that movie that Mike Nesmith made?
No, I'm going to have to
in
seek
the
80s, this out.
There's a band in it called Cube Squared that is kind of a parody of Aha, the Take On Me song.
Beautiful.
And it's called Baby Doll, and it's maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. They only sparkled as far as I'm concerned. I love his mind and the way he... Because he was, that was like electro blues, what they were doing, sort of. And the things that he was talking about, you know, he was very, very funny, but he was talking about things that everybody could relate to. And
he's also poking fun at rock music and all of the stardom and all that stuff, too. And yeah. But it wasn't in your face.
Yeah.
It was
just fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I went to my first Devo show wearing a radiation suit in 1978. Their first tour, in fact.
That is beautiful.
They're such a ball, and I love them.
It was our generation's version of a bee-in. I wore the radiation suit to the Devo show.
Bee-in. Wow. You and I are very close in age, aren't we, Nico?
I'm 45. You're 47?
Yeah, that's just a difference of two.
We are sexier than we've ever been right now.
I definitely am. I mean, it doesn't get much awkward than my teens and 20s.
Oh, me too, brother.
I mean, I have no desire to go back there, except for the energy.
I would be on a float now, but I would never have been on a float at like 15.
You mean like
Macy's Day or smaller?
Like Miss Crab Patties or something.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't have back then?
No.
Why not?
Because I would have perished. I would have had to speak to another person.
I see.
Were you shy as well, John?
I wasn't shy, but what happened to me was I became, in my senior year, this horrible thing happened where it felt like my skin was turned inside out and I became so hyper aware of myself that I completely retreated into myself. It was weird. It was horrifying. And then I had, you know, just nonstop panic attacks and anxiety for years and years. That's why, you know, I needed to drink heavily in order to have contact with other people. And to get on stage at all. But you know, it didn't really work out that well for me because I got so drunk that I couldn't play or sing. You know?
Yeah, I can't drink at all before the show.
Yeah.
And then I ended up just kind of losing interest, and now I have like 3 drinks a year.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had one in 11 years, and that was sort of necessary for me to go back out into the world. But I still don't like big crowds and stuff. I don't like to, I mean, it's not my dream is not to go to the mall on Saturday afternoon.
No, that makes me.
What about being in front of and performing and being in control of, or however you want to call it, being the center in that?
I like it.
You like that?
I like that too. It's not so much a control thing as it is, you know, the people that are there are probably benevolent and,
yes,
you know, okay with the fact that you're there too.
Yeah.
And then if you show them the gratitude, which you really like, sincere, yes, gratitude, like, wow, you guys are here. Thanks.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
feel appreciated. And then they're like, well, thanks for noticing us. What do you yes. got? And then you give it back and they give it back. And it's a nice give and take.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a very powerful thing, for considering how quickly it takes place.
And the memories sustain. I mean, I go to a lot of shows and talk to lots of folks about going to a lot of shows. And, and the impact is forever for some shows.
Yeah.
Do you
the
own
only
a radiation
thing I can think
suit?
Of to compare it to is like yes. a majestic coral spawn in the ocean.
Yeah.
It happens really fast, you know.
Wow.
There's a lovely red mist over the coral, and
that's
their little hands come out and they collect the whatever it is that they're spawning. And
what a beautiful image.
Mm-hmm.
And the communities. I mean, it's like a pocket community every night.
Yeah, and it's some of the only unique community that you have anymore in a place, like that makes a place a place. An individual place rather than a strip mall or something.
You both live now far away from the places that you grew up. I mean, Reykjavik and Vermont are far from, where would you call your home, Nico? Would you say
Washington State?
Mm-hmm. And then, and you would call your home would be?
I guess Colorado, although Michigan is the place that I really, I don't feel connected to Colorado because I never felt.
You were drunk.
Well, no, I was. No,
you were drunk.
It's true. I mean, I still know some of the greatest people that I know still live in Colorado, but it seems like that's where all the mistakes were made and all the horrible things. The death of the mother, the total escape from everything, and heartbreak and failure, and you know, all these exciting things, which are not, you know, I'm not saying those are negative things necessarily, but they do.
Your formative years would be the
that's what they call it exactly. My formative years. I do love being in Iceland, but I sort of feel like I could live anywhere these days. I usually get excited about every place that I go to, it seems like.
So for either of you, for both of you, would a new place be inspirational? Would it be like, for so many people, it's like be where you grow up, be around your family, be around the things you know. And but for both of you, who are both creative souls, that's not true. Is it part of being who you are in terms of creating and stuff?
That's a difficult one to answer. I was going to, in fact, this ties into a question I was going to talk about. Talking about songwriting, for example, and some, you know, I've been asked over and over and over again during this last PR thing for my new record, how has Iceland affected your music, you know? And I usually say, I don't think I have the perspective to be able to answer that question. People ask you about songwriting all the time, Nico, I imagine.
They do.
Yeah. And I, you know, I feel like it's a very unnatural thing to talk about because you're forced to sort of put under the microscope this thing that sort of happens naturally, and it happens different ways on different days.
But I'm going to say, as a person who would have asked that question,
right?
So I went to Iceland last year, right around this time.
Yes.
Drove through this amazing, the most amazing landscape I've ever seen in my whole entire life, ever, probably might ever do, right?
Yeah, it was shocking.
Extraordinary from a kid from Brooklyn to see this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I interviewed Jonsi, who's, you know, I mean, he grew up there. It's what he knows. It's in his, and in seeing the drama of the landscape, I couldn't help but say, oh, I get it. I see the connection. So I say to him, hey, so this geography, this landscape thing, this music you make, right? Yeah. Totally connected. And he said, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he doesn't see that as inspiring. I can't help as a listener and a viewer to not, the drama, yeah, right, in Cigaros. But I'm not sure it's the same for the person like yourself, like you're saying in your creativity. I'm not sure it's easy for you to see it. But as an outside listener, I don't find it hard to make connections like that.
Yeah.
And I can't even, I also can't understand how it can't inspire.
Oh, it definitely inspires. I feel like I would have made a very similar record to the one that I just made, no matter where I was.
Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like if you eat really good food all the time, you're probably going to be pretty healthy.
Yes, and regular.
Which is kind of where a landscape like that would come in. Like Vermont is definitely that way for me, but I felt that way in Tucson, too. And in Tucson, I've never been asked so much if the landscape inspired me, and I would watch poor Calexico have to answer that question three trillion times. And it was funny because the Europeans would not accept a no for an answer. They'd be like, no, we hear the desert in your music no matter what. So
we hear the
both sides are totally right in a way.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a guy who does that kind of stuff and asks those questions, it must be hard as the on the other end for you guys, but it's hard not, like Calexico, that was a good example. It's hard not to hear that because who else makes music like that? And so you, I guess it's, for me, it's fun to try to make the connections, and but you could have written the cynicism and the fun and the comedy that's in your record, John, anywhere.
I feel like, because, I feel like Devo is still driving me, I mean, I'm still feeding off of that. So I'm going to be, that affected me in such a way that I, even though there are things in the modern world that excite me, there's always great music coming out. But these, these things that, these sounds that changed your life when you heard them for the first time, like hearing those opening titles of that Vangelis Blade Runner soundtrack for me, the sound of that CS-80 Yamaha synth. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm trying to get that into every record, whether it's conscious or not, all the time, because I can't get that.
It's like comfort food when you when you make a sound that you have in your DNA, so to speak.
Absolutely. I call it my musical vocabulary, and I feel like, Devo and Vangelis and all of this electronic stuff is such a huge part of my musical DNA, but also the 70s, the AOR. That stuff was
album-oriented rock, for those who don't know that term.
Yeah.
Nico, do you have a Vangelis? Do you have a someone who is in your vocabulary?
I have so many that when I get asked that question, I kind of have a little panic attack and I forget.
Oh, John, me too.
Just hang on a minute. John's going to ask you this question and you're going to be calm. No panic attack. John?
What are some of the names that come to mind when you think about the music that you grew up listening to? The things that you fell in love with?
Well, Heart was a big deal.
Oh, man, yeah.
To me.
Yes.
And Heart, The Cramps, Flat Duo Jets.
Oh, wow.
Lots of gospel music.
Beautiful.
Tons of gospel music.
Where'd the gospel, where'd you hear that?
Like Staple Singers?
Yeah, Staple Singers, Bessie Griffin and her Gospel Pearls. All kinds of stuff, but that came from buying records in thrift stores. And sometimes you would buy things for the cover, and a lot of gospel records have some pretty amazing covers.
Good uniforms. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And there was a certain point in the 80s and 90s where punk rock, which I was really into, just became really super crappy, dogmatic, recycled political slogans.
Yeah.
And there were no women anywhere. And after a while, when you don't see yourself, you either start your own band and make yourself, or you just start looking for women somewhere. Like, what are they singing?
Mm.
There's got to be some singing somewhere. I like singing.
Yeah. Did you like Plasmatics?
Yes, I love the Plasmatics. And I loved X. I loved, you know, but it didn't continue after it. Like, there was a really, there was a serious woman drought going on in kind of the scene that I was trying to be in, and it was a drag.
I mean, I think of X as maybe almost second generation punk, but you had X-Ray Specs, would be a good one, and there were lots of...
Yeah, Polystyrene had the cutest
voice. She's amazing.
Wow.
So cool.
Number of women out of England, but in the States, that didn't happen so much.
Yeah.
Not so much.
You know, what I love is that, I feel like people like you, Nico, these days, you make your own scene, you make your own club. When you see that, for example, you say that you didn't see it continuing there, well, you just made it for yourself then, didn't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful
but
thing.
But I miss that whole, I think the whole scene idea, I read a tweet by Stan Ridgway the other day where he was talking
about
how record stores were so great because there could be a scene around them and you could actually meet people at the record store that you have common interests with. And I definitely made friends in the record stores that I went to. So
me too.
And it wasn't just people my age. So that was a really big deal for somebody who lived in a city where you generally kind of gravitate toward people your age.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to get a different perspective, not just, well, we're 17. We know everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, meanwhile, I meet this guy who's in his 50s who owns the House of Records in Tacoma, Washington, who, you know, when I walk in and I say, do you have any Wanda Jackson records? He's like, do I have any Wanda? Sit down.
and then you
make a lifelong friend, you know?
Yeah. I've been listening to her lately for the first time. I didn't. There's so much stuff that I felt like I wasn't allowed to listen to. I guess I had this whole sexual thing going on. Like, I wanted to listen to punk music. My friends were listening to Fear, you know, back then. And I wanted to listen to that too, but I didn't. I felt like I wasn't invited to the party for some reason.
What was your party then?
We were not invited to the party. That's why.
Yeah.
It was definitely very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very. There was just a period of it that was super aggressive, super negative.
Yeah.
And we were not invited. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know,
that was the big turnoff. Like, well, why can't? And, you know, when women would come and play in bands.
Yeah.
I remember there was a band from Portland called The Obituaries that had a really great singer.
Yeah.
And I remember people just being like, oh, women can't play.
Yeah, yeah.
And these were people that I kind of hung out with, these guys. And I was like, what? Yeah. Really?
What
really?
Do
you actually think that? Really?
Yeah.
Hence your Eurythmics album that you're going to make. Not your,
yeah.
I mean, not.
Yeah. Remember the Tourists? Did you ever listen to the Tourists,
and
the first band?
Yeah.
So Good to Be Back Home. I love that song.
I love the cover of I Only Want to Be With You that they did.
Oh, yeah.
So beautiful.
Aw.
Yeah. You and I have a lot of stuff in common. I'm sensing that here through this truth that's...
Let us outfit a ship and sail together.
Don't let us not.
To make our fortunes.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, don't you think a really sparse electronic album would be a beautiful thing? With beautiful harmonies?
Do.
Yeah.
So the question was, don't you think
a really sparse electronic, you know, a la Who's That Girl and... that sort of thing, album would be great with just all sorts of soaring harmonies and lots of tape delay and reverb, which I know we both love immensely.
I've just made John Congleton, who's now on the line. Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
Hi, John.
I don't know how awkward this is or not.
Will
you
be our Dave Stewart, John Congleton?
Will you be our Dave Stewart, please?
Oh, okay. Eurythmics, Dave Stewart?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sure.
Yay.
You sound like people just ask you that every day, like...
Well,
I guess I can do that again.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, it's fine. It's only noon here.
Nice.
Oh, we're gonna start now. Good.
It's so nice to hear his voice. It's so nice to hear your voice, John.
Is that John Grant?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
You wearing snug slacks?
You better believe it.
Oh man, the nugget.
I'm a tad bloated from the ride over.
But so that Coke Zero is not showing.
No.
No, ma'am.
So, John, you walked in the middle of a conversation that John Grant and Nico Case have been wanting to have. They've never met before, and she's in Vermont. John Grant's here with me in D.C. in the studio. We've been talking about 45 minutes, and we were yakking about, like, maybe they should meet actually in the same place and make a record together. John Grant was singing your praises, so I called you. So that's how you got here.
Well, excellent.
Yeah. And John, I lost my serial number for the Omnisphere 2. So now I have to
jump
through their hoops. Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. $500,000 down the drain.
Right.
What you working on now, John?
What am I working on? I am finishing up a record with Nelly Furtado at the moment.
Excellent. And where are you?
Wow.
Yeah.
I am in Dallas. I was just in L.A. on actually a vacation, believe it or not.
Wow. I didn't know you did that.
Will you tell her how much I admire her for not using auto-tune on her earlier stuff?
Hey, believe me, we've talked a lot about that.
Because that is a really big deal, and she's one of those people I think of where I'm like, see, you can just hit the note.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it actually
It's just kind of beautiful.
Far more evocative
and don't take out the breathing. It's fantastic. So tell her she's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome. She's a real sweetheart too.
Mm.
Well, if
so much love today.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if someday, roughly a year from now, I'm going to put down that date, the nice fall of 2016, a record comes out with John and Nico, with John producing the seed, the beginnings of the seed.
Yeah,
we can all hope. And
can John, we do it in Vermont in the autumn when the leaves are changing?
I
think you should do it in Vermont and Iceland.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I've never been to
side
Iceland.
A.
Oh, you got to come. You got to come play Iceland Airwaves, or not play and just see it. I mean,
you're right.
Side A Vermont, side B Iceland.
I'd go to St. John.
I have
Newfoundland.
To be at some of it just to sit. I mean, I'll only sit. I'll
come
be quiet.
On over.
I'll supply you with Diet Coke or Diet Zero Coke, whatever it is you drink.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just desperate for throat cancer.
Oh, <geez. laughs>
hey, John, I'll be in Iceland in December, actually.
Oh, fantastic!
Happy record release day a few days ago.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm just.
It's a great record, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just getting going. I'm sort of my head's spinning a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just fighting to stay regular, you know.
Press time is hard and the most exhausting part.
What is, Nico?
When the record first comes out and you're doing that first bit of press, it's hard.
Well, I was telling Bob earlier, and John knows this from even the end of our recording, I really need to let go of the songs, as I imagine, you know, a lot of people probably have to. Tell me if this is that way for you, Nico, but I let go to them to such an extent that I really have to learn everything over again when I start to tour it. I have to learn all the chords to my songs again.
Oh, I totally have that. But luckily, it's easier to make a large sound with a lot less people live, kind of like how the camera adds 10 pounds theory.
Yes.
it really helps.
Mm-hmm.
Reverb?
Love reverb. And, you know, I wanted to ask you today, Nico, has somebody ever said to you, you know what, you don't need that?
Yes, they have.
And,
many, many times.
And I hate that so much because it's like, yes, you idiot, I know I don't need it, but I want it because it's beautiful and it works for
beautiful.
What I'm doing. It's what I'm doing here. Of course I don't need it.
It's the consistent sound of space being activated by a human voice by human strength. And it's fantastic. And even though you have to simulate it, but I also use it to stay in tune in front of a large rock band, because if I add a low end to my reverb, it's like having a nice plank that I can walk out on and constantly feel the low end, and I can stay in tune that way because I don't use auto-tune. It's kind of like how bass players sometimes get those butt kicker pads so they can feel the bass, even though they're standing right next to the drums.
Wait a minute, what?
It's just a necessity.
Excuse me?
It's like this vibration thing that bass players sometimes use to be able to feel the bass if things are too loud.
Yeah, the drummers have
everybody
that, too.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah,
they have
John,
those.
Would you buy me one? Whatever that is? A butt kicker?
Sure, but
can I look it up?
That may be the beginning of an addiction that you don't want to get into. I don't know.
On that note,
I can't go on stage without this butt kicker. Show is canceled.
Amen.
My butt kicker, bro. Thank you, everybody. I think John Congleton, take care. Thanks for being a sport. And one day, maybe, right? The dream is always possible.
It's good to hear you, Daddy-O.
Nice to talk to you, Daddy.
nice to meet you over the phone.
Yes. Let's meet in person someday. We have so many mutual friends.
Indeed.
Yay.
Let's make that happen.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, John.
Bye.
And now, if there's anything you two wanted to do, say, I don't have to run out of the studio, but we're going to get kicked out of here in just a minute. So is there any last thing that you wanted, one or the other?
I was going to ask you if you like dinosaurs. Nico.
Oh, see?
Is she gone?
She's gone. I think the ISDN got disconnected.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Bye, Nico.
Bye, Nico.
We know you're there.
That was so fun. Thank you. Can't wait to meet up soon.
I wonder if she does like dinosaurs.
Yeah. I thought for a minute that it was a really like insulting question. You know, it's like just the silence of, you know, how dare you.
Thanks, Don Grant.
Thank you, Bob.
Great to have you here.
Such a pleasure.
Cheers. Nico Case, John Grant. I'm Bob Boylan with the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast. The new record from John Grant is really worth giving a listen to. It's called Great Tickles and Black Pressure. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.